Welcome to worship this morning. It's great to have you here on this wonderful sunshine morning. All kids, it's great to see you too. Hope you've been having some fun with your family. You're enjoying this extra time at home. I looked at the Bible video story that you were to use this week, and it told the story of Peter and John when they healed a lame man at the temple, and then how they got into some real serious trouble with the leaders. Peter and John had to learn how to trust God when they had trouble. You know that no matter how old you are or how young you are, you can find trouble. Trouble with your friends, maybe you've had some trouble at home. Maybe even trouble at school doing your work or trouble with classmates. In our life, we need to learn how to trust God. Trust Him because He will help us. The adults are going to learn about that in another way in just a few minutes. But I'm going to pray for each one of you children today that you will learn how to trust Jesus with your whole life. You're terrific kids, and I can't wait to be near you real soon. So I hope you have a great morning today. Now for the rest of us, I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses... Well, I guess we should say at the end of verse 10, and we're going to read right through verse 14. And this is the rest of Paul's prayer that we had started into last week. His prayers are so full of richness and insight. So let's begin to read. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Paul uses a phrase in this prayer that I want to be used as my prayer for you. Strengthened with all power according to the glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. That is one of those necessary prayers. It's a prayer that really has no idea what is coming, but it does know that trouble will be part of the future. In this world, we will have trouble, John 16:33. You've probably discovered at some point in your life that no one, no matter how rich or powerful or strong or influential they are, they still will have trouble. Trouble is part of what it means to be a human being, to be alive. If you think that you can manage or control your life enough that you won't have trouble, you're naive, you're uninformed. Endurance and patience then need to become essential to life. Lori and I came with our family, our two children, Michael and Melissa, to Bonavista Vista Church in the summer of 1984. Alberta was in the early stages of an economic recession. We came as assistant pastors to David and Karen Krause. After the first year together, David and Karen came home from their vacation in that summer and shared with us that they would be stepping down as senior pastor the following June. In those days, if you were a staff member at the church, you had to resign as well. So we knew we had about another year to serve here at the church. As that year ended, we decided to apply for the senior pastor position, and thankfully we were hired. We thought that life would then just continue on from there. The week we were hired, four families decided that the decision that we be the senior pastor was unacceptable, and they left the church. That stung. But then the economic recession dug even deeper. The next spring and summer, 11 families, Many of them strong, leading families left the church and left the province of Alberta to find work in other places, primarily in Ontario. I was devastated. But it wasn't that much really about me. It was about Bonavista Church. We were still a young startup church, about 10 or 12 years old. Lori and I were young and inexperienced as a pastoral couple. If I remember right, we had only one family that was over 50 years of age. Most people left the province during that time than any other time in history. People had just purchased homes with the astronomical mortgage rates of 18%. Money was tight. The attendance at worship was challenging. And we were trying to complete a little building program on the side of the church that had just begun. Jobs were hard to come by. The beloved senior pastor that was experienced was gone. There was a lot of uncertainty in the air. Some weren't sure if we as a Bonavista church could move forward, we could survive. Lori and I weren't sure if we could do it. But the Spirit of God began to empower us as a congregation with endurance and patience. It was tough for Bonavista. I had to learn how to preach. I frankly was awful in those first few years. I didn't like to listen to me. They had to be patient with me as I learned to do leadership and be a pastor. Even as I speak now, I see images cross my mind of some of the mistakes that I made along the way. It took endurance and patience on everyone's part. Endurance and patience were central to the lives of Jesus and Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul shares just a brief summary of the suffering he endured. I'm going to quote just a few lines from that section. "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day on the open sea." And he adds much more. Paul endured every imaginable struggle, difficulty, and circumstance. Hebrews 12:2 describes the endurance of Jesus this way: "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." The endurance of Jesus and Paul was not merely toughing out the difficult circumstances, it was filled with purpose. They endured for a reason. They weren't just trying to prove their masculinity or their physical or emotional toughness. They were enduring for a purpose. They were fulfilling the purposes of Christ in their life. They were enduring what needed to be endured so that they could carry on the ministry that Jesus had called them to. They were enduring so that they could live out a fruitful life for Christ. Well, endurance and patience go together. Endurance survives the trouble, sees it, through. And patience is able to come out on the other side. Patience anticipates a new day. Patience eventually bears fruit. Paul's prayer calls the Colossians to bear fruit in every good work. Sometimes we feel like we keep on doing what God wants us to do, but there isn't much to show for all of that good work. It requires patience. I remember thinking that nothing was ever going to change. At this point, we'd been at Bonavista Church for 10 years. And we had grown the church from 175 to 165 people. That's going in the wrong direction. Now, you know that I never believed that such numbers were how we were to measure ministry. But I also knew from a practical perspective that less people meant that we would face even more challenges. Churches don't survive, and they certainly don't thrive when they're in a dying mode. But with patience, we endured. Slowly, because of the hard work and persistence of the committed people of Bona Vista, we saw the church begin to slowly turn around and grow. It wasn't just a mere growth in numbers. We saw the spiritual maturity of the congregation deepen. We discovered that when you go through difficult times together, you need to learn to trust and endure and be patient with each other. And we saw fruit. People began to follow Jesus. Small groups began to expand and grow. People were deepening in their faith. More and more people were being baptized. Others were being commissioned to go out in missions. Others were engaging their friends and their family in faith conversations. Patience was leading to purpose. We all want to lead fruitful lives. I frankly have never met anyone who didn't want to have a fruitful life. We don't want to just live humdrum day to day. We want to make a difference. We want our lives to matter. So what does fruitful look like? A fruitful life is a life that fulfills the purposes of God. Another way of looking at fruitful is to live out the fruit of the Spirit. Our lives are shaped by the Spirit of God in such a way that we begin to take on the nature of the Spirit. And then we live out the life of the Spirit. We start to think and act and live in the Jesus way. Galatians 5:22 through 23 describes the fruit of the Spirit in this way. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We don't find this fruit of the Spirit in the easy days of life. They tend to come to us, we take on the fruit of the Spirit in the middle of trials and difficulties. Think about this. You don't just wake up on Monday morning suddenly with kindness. We take on the fruit of kindness when our kindness is tested, when we would rather lash out in anger or disgust. We're trained in the kindness by the Spirit through the trial. It takes endurance. It takes patience to live out the fruit of the Spirit. There have been times when we have not always borne the fruit of the Spirit. I remember one Sunday morning in the early fall in September when everything was just getting started. It was our kickoff Sunday. There was lots of activity. And I was feeling the pressure of keeping everything going in the right direction. And someone suddenly came up to me as I was just wrapping up a class with one more problem, and as I listened to the problem, I thought it was unnecessary, and I lashed out them loudly in front of everybody else in harshness and anger. I was so angry, and I was so wrong, and it was so inappropriate. There's simply no call for that kind of behavior, and certainly not on the part of the pastor. The fruit of the Spirit had fallen off the tree and was rotting on the ground that morning. Later in the day, I was finally able to connect with that person and apologize to them and try to make things right. But I'd hurt someone that I cared about deeply. They didn't deserve to be hurt. And unfortunately, damage was done. The fruit of the Spirit does not come easily, but it shapes our spirit to be more like His. Sometimes we even have to endure through our own sinfulness, through our own weaknesses, and patiently wait on the Lord to do His shaping work in us. To bear fruit is to produce the kind of fruit you were made for. Well, what kind of fruit does a cherry tree produce? This is not a trick question. Want to try it? Ah, you got it right. It's a cherry. Now, what kind of fruit are we to produce? Is it cherries, apples, apricots? Who are we? We are followers of Jesus. We're Jesus trees. So we produce the kind of fruit that reflects Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm sure that you've discovered already that that is not easy, being the fruit that reflects Jesus. To endure, to be patient, to bear fruit, to live out the fruit of the Spirit is absolutely beyond us. We simply can't do it on our own. I kind of wondered if I should talk about this morning. I sometimes have wondered how many things we as a church have tried to do on our own, in our own strength and in our own way. I don't think I'm able to actually pass judgment on that. I know that there have been times that I've done that. I'm sure you can think of some times you've not been attentive to the Spirit of God and what He's been asking of you. Sometimes we just feel like we've been patient for too long, and so we march out ahead in frustration because we just need something, anything to happen. It's about 1997, and we were needing to do something about our building, our physical structure. The church was busting at the seams. We'd been in the process of creating a master plan for the church for the next 10 years. In those days, that's what you're supposed to do, create master plans. We began to wonder how this building project should fit into the master plan, and how all of it would look in 10 years from now. If this did that, then we did this. What are the implications, and so on and so forth. We considered several scenarios, but seemed to hit a wall no matter which way we turned. Then we had a brilliant idea. Can you imagine what it was? Why don't we pray? And so the board began to pray. We prayed for quite some time, and it was an earnest, beautiful time of prayer. We were on our knees at our chairs, and then I remember as clear as a day, I was praying alongside the board, and the Lord spoke to me with a kind of clarity that for me has been very rare. The words didn't come in like a verbal sense. It was more words that came in a sense, an awareness. This is what I heard. Obey what I ask for you today, and I will make clear tomorrow what you need for tomorrow. Obey what I ask for you today, and I will then make clear tomorrow what you need for tomorrow. In other words, forget the 10-year plan and let me guide your way. Build as you see fit, and I will help you figure out the next stage when time for the next stage comes. Patience, endurance, waiting on the Lord. Remember that endurance was Paul facing all the suffering, difficulty, confusion, and uncertainty. Remember that? Sometimes he didn't know which way to go. Remember that Jesus suffered the way to the cross, endured the pain and humiliation. that had to be patient all the way to the end in order to experience God's grace to him. And at the end, do you remember what happened? The resurrection. When Paul says that the Colossians have been empowered, he is invoking the same kind of power that we see at the resurrection. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. His incomparably great power for us to believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. If you think about that kind of power it takes to resurrect someone from the dead, you realize you are talking about the kind of power that is beyond the powers of our world. The power of the military, the power of our government, the power of the wealthy, the power of celebrity, the power of science cannot hold a candle to the incomparably great power of his mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. This is the power that helps us endure when we face a world that is designed to mock and destroy our faith. This is the power that teaches us patience when we are unable to see what God is about to do. This is the power that rescues us from the dominion of darkness. This is the power that brings us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. This is the power that offers us redemption, the forgiveness of sin. And this is the same power that has seen Bonavista Church through some difficult and even dark times. This is the power that we trust in. This is the power that will give us patience as we wait for God wants to do in and through Bonavista Church next. Now in these days, Lori and I are doing a lot of reflection and reminiscing. And we were talking about the ways that Bonavista Church has had to endure and be patient over the years. For she and I, there have been many times when we both wanted to quit. It was just, I don't know, felt more than we could bear. I'd had a particularly difficult day at the church, and I walked home kind of dragging, came through the front door, took off my coat, and announced that I wanted to become a welder. Well, Lori asked me, have you ever done any welding? No, I said, but I could learn. It has to be easier than this. Sometimes the things we have faced as a church have been so deeply personal that we're not able to talk about them. I can't talk about them today. To talk about them would be to betray a confidence. To talk about them would be to touch a wound that is still too exposed and painful. But it didn't always mean that we didn't all feel it, and we didn't all endure through it. It's difficult to describe, but we often feel things, sense things that we can't identify, but we know something is there, something is wrong, something off kilter, and yet we can't name it. We can't even see it. And what do? We endure. We practice patience. And how do we endure or practice patience? Well, sometimes we don't do it that well. Sometimes we want to go and we want to dig up whatever is happening and yank it out. Sorry to say, but some people use that as a moment to gossip, to spread rumors about what might be going on. But true endurance and patience practices prayer. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Romans 8:23-26. The Holy Spirit knows what is happening, and He discerns what is best. And as we pray, He intercedes for us on our behalf to the Father. And the ministry of reconciliation and restoration takes place. Lori and I want to encourage you as a congregation to continue this practice of endurance and patience. I would be wrong to promise to you that the days ahead are going to be easier and brighter. You're going to have a lot of great days ahead of you. There's no question about it. I look forward with enthusiasm to the things that will come. But you do know that there will be some trouble. In fact, you are about to enter some very deep waters. Transition is not easy. And some will find this transition simply too hard and will choose to move on to easier places. The world is not becoming a kinder place to the followers of Jesus. The church is no longer held in high regard. It is a day that is calling for a people who know how to endure and be patient because they've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. These are the people that love the Lord with all of their hearts. They know that Jesus is still on the throne. They know that the purposes of God are being carried out by those who know how to endure and be patient. You are those kind of people. And I look forward to the way you will endure with great courage. And so, this is our prayer for you. May you be empowered to patiently endure all that will come. May you endure when others decide to cut and run. We pray that God's work in you will create a faithful and fruitful ministry at Bonavista Church because you've invited the Holy Spirit to empower you with His power, that you would live not to your own purposes, but to God's purposes. We pray that Bonavista Church will be a place where the power of God continues to make you bold and strong in His holy name. He is the God of holy endurance and holy patience. He continues to wait for us. And so we wait patiently on Him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So this morning, I invite you to receive the benediction. God's blessing to you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance toward you and give you His peace. Amen.